Hello, and thanks for tuning in to this podcast recorded at Hope Lutheran Church in Toledo, Ohio. The following scripture reading and sermon were recorded during regular worship on Sunday morning. We can be found on the web at hopetoledo.net. Check us out, or better yet, check us out in person at our regular worship services. Blessings to you this day. God's word with a reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, today has the perhaps best known and one of the most beloved verses, right? Let's do it together. For God. Proves my case, right? It's beloved, but to fully consider today's text in our own lives, it's important to place it in the context of where the writer of John has placed it. And the flow of events are critical, and the way we've chopped things up and moved them around our lectionary make it hard to follow. So here's the flow of events. Jesus is at the wedding in Cana in Galilee, where he turns water into wine, his first sign in the Gospel of John. Jesus cleanses the temple, throws out the money changers and the animal sellers. And then that night, while still in Jerusalem, Nicodemus, a leader from the temple, visits Jesus at night while it's dark, which of course plays into today's text, because today's text follows that. Nicodemus misunderstands Jesus when Jesus says that one has to be born from above, and he thinks that Jesus is saying that you have to be born again. And there's a dialogue, and then it moves into today's text where it's a monologue, all in the same scene. It follows by Jesus' interaction with John the Baptist, and then Jesus leaves Jerusalem and enters Samaria, where he ends up talking to the woman at the well. Now, the events, I think, are important because most commentators note that the interaction between the religious leader Nicodemus and the interaction with the woman at the well are used to play off of each other and need to be interpreted together. You have Nicodemus, the religious male leader who doesn't get it, and you have the woman who's a hated Samaritan, who's not, you know, part of a detested race, who fully sees who Jesus is. You get no two people more different in the gospel than these two, and they frame the interactions. But the verses that begin the monologue are key here as well. So I'm going to share with you the two verses before our reading today. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." Jesus speaks of this ascending and descending. And then he refers to the experience of God's people in the wilderness while journeying to the promised land from slavery in Egypt. And we read about that account in Numbers, the 21st chapter. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Remember, the miserable food they were eating was manna, which, by the way, just for interesting, the word manna is translated, what is it? You can go to one of the museums, the Creation Museum, I think is in Washington, D.C., and they call the cafe in their manna. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on the pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the bronze serpent and live. Beloved, the Israelites who God chose, even in their own sinfulness, experienced God's love and their deliverance from slavery in Egypt, and once free and in the wilderness, begin to complain and whine. And God responds by sending these poisonous serpents to bite them. And through this, they learn of their sin and they repent. So God instructs Moses to place a bronze snake on a pole so that they might be healed. That enduring image is still present today in a symbol for healing that we use today. The snake is then a symbol of both God's anger and God's mercy. And the writer of the Gospel of John asserts that just as a snake was lifted up on a pole, Jesus, when he is lifted up on a pole, the cross, and the people look to him, will likewise experience life. In the Gospel of John, there is never talk of faith, but there is over and over again the response to what God has done through Jesus is to believe. So God would save the people by having them gaze in belief upon God's Son lifted up on a pole. But lifting up has a deeper meaning in the Gospel of John, because in John, lifting up means exalting. And for John, the lifting up of Jesus on the cross is Jesus' exaltation. Double entendre and irony are clear. The humiliation of crucifixion is the glory of exaltation for Jesus. And there's no exaltation apart from crucifixion. So no cross, no crown. The mystery of the cross is at the front and center of today's text. In the face of the unexplainable, Jesus reaches for an analogy for the life-giving mystery of the cross itself. And that beloved verse reads more appropriately this way. This is the way God loved the world, with the result that he gave his only Son in order that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16 isn't about how much God loved the world, it's about how God loved the world. And Jesus' coming is like bringing of a light into a dark space. And there's a contrast between light and dark, and it's intense in John. Indeed, the coming of the Son into the world leads to numerous pairs of contrasting realities. Remember, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by cover of darkness at night. But look at the contrast that John offers. There's to condemn and to save, to believe and to not believe, to stay in the darkness and come into the light, to do evil and to do what is true. The opposites express the distinction that is created when the dark cosmos is entered by the light of God, Jesus. Like the people in the story of Numbers, we've already been bitten or are in imminent danger of being bitten. For us, death is inevitable. When the bronze serpent is brought into the world, we look and live or we do not. As Jesus comes into the world, we trust that which bears God's gracious love or we do not. Remember, John was written for a community that has believed, embraced the way of Jesus, and because of their embrace of the faith, they have been shunned and cut off. This is typical example of John's radically realized eschatology, which announces that judgment or condemnation and eternal life happen at the moment of decision for or against God's Son. This changes the meaning of eternal life and judgment. Eternal life refers not only to resurrection life, but to knowing God in Christ, that is, having communion with God in Christ in this life. Condemnation becomes the absence of that knowledge or that communion. So let us step back one more time. The beloved verse is a fitting summary of the account that we use to summarize the whole of Scripture. Think about it for just a moment. From the garden to Cain and Abel, to Noah, to the Tower of Babel, Abraham and Sarah, God's chosen people brought out of slavery to the promised land, the prophets who call the people back. Each and every time, God loves first. Again and again, we sin and fall away. Again and again, God's love is manifest, and dare I say that God's love gets the last word. So as you move through the again and again of this Lenten season, may you experience and feel God's love claiming you, forgiving you, and calling you back. And may you look upon the one who is lifted up, and may you experience life that begins now and continues into eternity. Amen. I invite those of you that are able to stand as we pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that Jesus embraced a kingship expressed on a cross, that when we look upon his love, we experience life that begins now and continues forever. Amen. We join in our next song. All the people said amen.